जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जना वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Panamansu Paribraja Kacharja Shtotara Sri Sri Shimadi A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Panamansu Paribraja Kacharja Shtotara Sri Shimadi Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shama Kuna Radha Kunigiri Govardhana Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadip Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamana Mai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrindaki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 29. Text 25. Dushila,
Dushila,
Durbhaga,
Vridha,
Jara,
Rogi,
Antana,
Api,
Va, Patihi, Stribhir, Na, Hatvayo, Hatavyo Lokape Subhir Apataki. Dushila Durbhaga Vridho
Dushila Durbhaga Vridho
Sharo Rogyatano Piva Pati Stribhir Nahat Hatavyo Lokep subhir apataki Dushila durbhago vriddho Charo rogyatano piva Pati stribhir nahat tavyo Lokep subhir apataki Dushila Durbhago vriddho
Shila durbhago vriddho
Charo rogyatano piva Pati stribhir nahatavyo
Pati stribhir nahatavyo
Lokep subhir apataki Piva Pati Stribir Nahatavyo Lokepa Subhira Patiki. Dushila Durpako Vridho. Shiro Rogya Dano Piva. Pati Stri Bir Nahata Vyo. Lokepa Subhira Patiki. Ladies. Dushila Durbhago Vridho Charo Rogyadano Piva Pati Stribhir Nahata Vyo Lokep Subhira Patiki Dushilaha of bad character Durbhagaha unfortunate Vriddhaha, old. Jadaha, retarded. Rogi, sickly. Adhanaha, poor. Apiva, even. Patihi, the husband. Stribhi, by women. Nahatavyaha, should not be rejected. Loka, a good destination in the next life. Ipsupihi, who desire. Apataki, if he has not fallen. Women who desire a good destination in the next life should never abandon a husband who has not fallen from his religious standards. Even if he is obnoxious, unfortunate, old, unintelligent, sickly, or poor. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti quotes a similar statement from Smriti Shastra, Patim Tupatitam Pajet. One should serve a master who has not fallen. Sometimes the foolish argument is given that even if a husband falls down from spiritual principles, his wife should continue to follow him, since he is her guru. In fact, since Krishna consciousness cannot be subordinated to any other religious principle, a guru who encourages his follower in materialistic, sinful activities loses his status as a guru. Srila Prabhupada stated that the system of monarchy collapsed in Europe because the monarchs abused and exploited their position. Similarly, in the Western world, men have abused and exploited women, and now there is a popular movement in which women reject the authority of their husbands. Ideally, men should be staunch in spiritual life and give pure, sincere guidance to the women under their care. The gopis, of course, being on the highest platform of spiritual perfection, were transcendental to all positive and negative religious considerations. In other words, they were the eternal lovers of the absolute truth. Om Agana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Tadhati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadaitam Shavatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodi Priye Vansha Kolpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Dushilo Durbhago Vridho Jaro Rogyarano Piva Pati Stribir Nahatavyo Lokape Subir Apatiki. Well, Krishna is giving advice here, especially for women, that Nahatavya, a husband is not to be given up. Patihi Stribhir Nahatavyo. It's not a whimsical thing that I accept a husband, then I reject the husband, then I accept another husband, then I reject him, then going from one to the next. That's not at all good. If a woman wants to advance, then she should be faithful to her husband. Nahatavyo, he shouldn't be given up. Even if so many disqualifications are there, Dushilo, even if his character is not good, still we should accept him. That anyway, by Krishna's arrangement or by the arrangement of fate, this husband is there, and there's no guarantee that switching from one to the next will do any better. He may be of bad character, but if I switch husbands, then I'm of bad character. So even if his character is not very good, or Durbhago, if he's unfortunate, if he's fallen on hard times, or in some way unfortunate, or Vridha, because he's old. When he's old, he may not be much fun. He may require so much care. He may become also peevish. But not that because that in old age I give him up. Jara, or if he becomes invalid, then I give him up and find some capable young man. Or Rogi, if he's sick. Or Adhana, Dhana means wealth, if he's bereft of money. And, well, when I married him, he was well off, but now he can't take care of me adequately. He has no money, so I'm out of here. No. The woman should be faithful to her husband. This is a sign of... this is a good characteristic for the woman, if she's whatever else she may be, but if she's faithful to her husband, that's a very good virtue. One woman comes to mind. One of my god sisters, her so much trouble. Husband went through so many difficulties and in so many ways was disqualified. But she remained faithful to her husband. Very good. Very good credit to that woman. Very faithful. Not that she wears another husband, but faithful. Anyway, husbands, what can you expect? They'll be whatever they are. They're not Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the actually qualified person. Anyone else? Rukmini Devi also said, anyone who doesn't have Krishna for her husband is simply married to a bag of mucus, bile, and air with some hair on his head and some mustache. And she's accepting him as her husband. So compared to Krishna, what are these husbands? They're all useless rogues. But still, having accepted a husband, one should not give him up. Nor, for that matter, should the husband give up the wife. Now she's old, now she's sickly, now she's a little crazy, now this, now that. This is not what I bargained for, so I'm ditching her. I can get a much better deal somewhere else. That also shows bad character in the man. One should, having accepted the responsibility, one should take it seriously. The wife is never what we expected, and the husband is never what we expected. When you get married, you expect one thing, and after you're married, you find out what you got. It's not generally the expectations, and what's delivered don't match. Because we expect the moon. Our expectations are unrealistic. We're expecting some ideal, some utopian something. And generally speaking, what we get doesn't match what we expect. Or it seems to match for some time, and then something changes. And now it no longer matches what I expected. The person who's responsible remains fixed. I've accepted this vow. Marriage means a vow. A vow means that I may like it or not like it, but I've accepted it. Just like Karna. He made a vow that at the time when I'm worshipping the sun, anyone can ask me for any charity, I'll give. So then Indra took advantage of his policy to come and ask him that you were born with armor and earrings on your body. As long as you have those armor and earrings, you're practically invincible. Now I want them. And Karna was warned in advance by the sun god, Indra will come as a beggar and ask you for these things. Don't give. But Karna, no, I've made a vow. Yes, take. That was his good credit, that I've made a vow, how can I refuse? The vows were taken so seriously. I've made a vow, I have to give. Bhishma also, he vowed that I won't marry. So then he kidnapped some girls for his brother. The girl said, "We don't want your brother, we want you. You marry us. You've taken our hand. You marry us." Bhishma said, "No. My vow is there." So in so many ways, we find in Vedic culture that having accepted a vow, one wouldn't consider later that, well, I didn't know when I took this vow how difficult it would be. I didn't know that, well, I was young when I made this vow, now I know better. One wouldn't try to slip out on one pretext or another. Anyway, I've made this vow, now I have to stick to it. The marriage vow was taken so seriously. One of our devotees in Bombay, his wife told me that when I was married, my mother told me that now we're carrying you into the house of your husband, and you won't leave again until you're carried out on a stretcher. Mm-hmm. When you're dead and they carry you out on a stretcher, that's when you should leave. Till then, here you are. Mm-hmm. That's the principle. It's not, well, otherwise it becomes a farce. The so-called marriage, to marry and then sort of have an escape clause built in, that it's really a kind of a trial, and if we don't like it, then we could always file for divorce. And whatever children there may be can be divided, whatever property we can fight over. That sort of dishonorable approach was not accepted. That makes marriage just a joke. Marry, divorce. Now, of course, therefore people avoid marriage. They just shack up. And then after some time, if they say, well, it seems to be working, after a few years, then they say, all right, let's get married. Statistically, because they're afraid that if we marry, then what if it doesn't work? What if if we're not happy together? So let's just do it this way. Easier to break up if we haven't made things so formal. Statistics have shown that that doesn't work, that the marriage is contracted after long, judicious stay together, break up more frequently than the marriage is undertaken from the start. So, as a policy, it doesn't seem to be effective. And of course, it's contrary to the Vedic principles. There's no try out, let's try it out, and live together, have sex together, and then if we like it, we'll stick. And after some time, we can marry. And that was not accepted as in the Vedic culture at all. Mm-hmm. They would get married, and marriage would mean for life. Even if there were extenuating circumstances, the husband is old, the husband is diseased, the husband lost his money, the husband's retarded, the husband's
ill-mannered. Anyway, that's my karma. Let me accept it. That's called austerity also. By austerity, one advances. Austerity means to put up with voluntarily put up with inconvenience or suffering. All right, let me suffer. Because suffering is inevitable in life anyway. So let me suffer according to my duty. Let me suffer in the line of duty. A soldier has to suffer. He's standing watch, and it's cold, and it's windy, and it's whatever. He can't say, well, it's cold. I'm going back to the barracks. It's his duty to suffer for however many hours. Then he can go back to the barracks. Even all work is suffering in some way. He has to come on time. He has to leave on time. He has to accept so many things that may not be fun. That's his duty. Not that he can only do the work he likes. So duty means there'll be some suffering. Arjuna had to fight against his relatives. That was certainly a source of suffering. But Krishna said, no, it's your duty. Not that you only kill your people you'd like to see dead, but even those you'd like to have live, you may have to kill. That's duty. So in marriage also, there may be suffering. In marriage, there must be suffering. Vajasastu palam dukkam. There must be suffering. Some enjoyment may be there, and some suffering will be there. That's inevitable. But not just when I enjoy it, then it's good. When I don't enjoy it, then it's bad. So when I enjoy, as long as I'm enjoying, I'm married. And then when it's not fun, then I go looking for another partner. That's not at all good. Dushilo durbago vrito charo ro gerano piva pati strib here. Pati, the husband is accepted as the master. Pati means master. He has the superior position. The wife has the subordinate position. Like the spiritual master. The husband is supposed to take responsibility for the wife. Pati nasasyat namochayet na samupetyam rityam. One should not become husband, father, guru, king, unless he can save the persons under his charge from the clutches of birth and death. That's his duty. So the guru has to accept the responsibility, and the disciple has to serve faithfully. Then there'll be progress. Apatiki, unless the master is fallen. Apatiki means of a pati, master, who's not pataka, fallen. Who's not fallen. The injunction is there in Shastra that if the guru is fallen, then he should be given up. Karya karya najanata. If he doesn't know what's to be done, what's not to be done, if he loses his discrimination, he becomes inimical to devotional service, offensive to the Vaishnavas. Utpata, it goes away from the path of devotional service. Then, Parityago Vidhiyate, he can be given up. He should be given up. Not that my guru is engaged in illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, or he's become a Mayavadi. Still, I follow because he's my guru. Parityago Vidhiyate. Krishna told Arjuna that, you're Drona, Bhishma, they're my gurus, I can't kill them. They've lost the respectability of gurus because they, when Draupadi was being insulted, they didn't say anything. Now, what kind of gurus? So, apatiki, a husband who's not fallen. Apatiki, who doesn't act against the principles of dharma. That should be there. The husband should be a devotee, Krishna conscious. And it's not the duty of the husband to use the wife as a machine for sense gratification. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi paradarsha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I'm represented by sex, which is dharma viruddha, when it's not contrary to religious principles. That means there are religious principles that govern sex life. In everything, there's religious principles to govern one's occupation, to govern one's activities. To govern sex life also, there are religious principles. Not that sex life is simply meant for to be engaged in willy-nilly, like the dogs and monkeys. Dharma viruddha. Sex should be accepted for getting good children, not simply as a means for gratifying the senses without restriction. There's a candy that was popular in, at least when I was growing up in America, called Pez. And you sort of like press the little button and a little candy comes out. So that's a Pez dispenser. Well, the wife is not a Pez dispenser. I would probably put it, not a machine for sense gratification. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. Sex also should be accepted according to religious principles. All right, are there any questions? Yes? Hare Krishna. Yeah, you seem okay.
So my question is, so if in Kali Yuga most men aren't following the religious principles, then does that mean that
if in Kali Yuga most men don't follow religious principles, does that mean women should give them up? Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Everything is bad. Of course, in Kali Yuga, if every woman gives up her husband who's not following religious principles, that every woman will be, every man will be playing the field, and every woman will be a prostitute. So, very reluctantly, a woman should give up her husband, not very easily. Well, that has to be considered. I'm not the judge for each case. But there are limits, not that the wife just has to accept everything because, oh, this is my husband. And there are cases where the wife is justified. No, I'm, but if she gives up her husband, not that she goes to look for another husband. That, well, this husband didn't work out. Now the next one, that one didn't work out. Well, try another one. That, all right, my married life wasn't very happy, so let me go back to my father, or let me serve the deity. Not the husband shopping. That's not according to Vedic principles either. Then it becomes practically like prostitution. And the women get exploited also. You know, what do you want to be with that husband for? He's so degraded and fallen and nasty and old. And, besides, you love me. And the man takes advantage of the woman. And after some time, well, that was fun. Then he goes on to some other woman. And the woman becomes used as a convenience by so many men. So that's not very... Therefore, Krishna's admonishing the gopis. And, no, you should... A woman should never leave her husband. Unless he's... if he's not fallen, then she should never give him up. Even if he's old, even if he's dull, even if he's whatever. Not very easily.
So if she does have to leave him because he has fallen, but she shouldn't go looking for other men.
No.
So is she still being chased, even though she's not?
She's
still being chased.
She is, yes. Yeah. Yeah, then it may be understood, well, she left her husband because he was irreligious. But if she's then looking for another husband, then she's irreligious. All right, I had my shot at it, didn't work out, so now whatever husbands are left, they're for some other girl. Not that... Again and again, and then she's 30, and then she's 40, then she's 50, then she's 60, and she's still looking for the right husband and trying out this one and trying out that one. That's not at all accepted. Okay?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Maharaj. What's the difference between having bad character and being fallen?
Good question. Dushila. Person may not be very... He may be irritable, he may be rude, he may be stingy, he may be spendthrift, he may be loud, or he may be cowardly, or he may be so many things that make one not a very enviable character. And that's different from being fallen.
constitute being fallen?
Intoxication, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, giving up the service of Krishna.
Thank you very much.
So on that point of being fallen, in Bhagavad Gita there's the verse Apichetsu Duracharo, which explains that.
That's also there. I was just thinking of that. Not that at the first instance that, oh, that's it, finished, I saw you with a cigarette, it's all over. Apichetsu Duracharo, even if there's some instance of bad character, if someone is sincerely sticking to devotional service, then he should be considered a saintly person. But kshipram bhavati dharmatma, it's expected that he should quickly come back to the standard. Not that, well, this is the new standard. You know, as long as it's only one cigarette a day, it's not so bad. Apichetsu Duracharo.
There's another question earlier in your talk. You were speaking about vows. You mentioned the vow that Karna took, and how, even though, like you said, the Sangha had advised not to, he still followed the vow. Recently we were having a Sangha, and some devotees were mentioning how, like maybe taking a vow or possibly a certain etiquette may seem to maybe taken, and then a situation may occur where it deems that someone should act a different way, like maybe, for example, Bhishma. He should have acted maybe in a different way to protect Draupadi, but he didn't, either out of etiquette or for some reason. If someone has a vow, then which
he never took a vow that any rascaldom can go on here, and I'll accept it. That wasn't his vow. I won't marry.
But he should have acted properly in that situation.
Yes.
But what if there, hypothetically, there is some vow that where then something is going on that one has thought, no, I've taken a vow.
One should not, therefore one should not be rash in taking vows. One should not be rash in taking vows. Very easily just, I swear, blah, blah. In the heat of passion, one takes a vow, and one may regret it. Marriage vows should not be just accepted whimsically. Initiation vows, any vow. If I'm, vow means that now I have to follow it. Who is that? Rukmi, the sister of Rukmini. He vowed that I'll win back my sister or I'll live as a hermit for the rest of my life. Of course, it was a foolish vow because he was opposing Krishna. What chance did he have? But anyway, he was defeated. He went and lived as a hermit. Ramchandra. His father gave a vow. Oh, he had to follow it. Unlimitedly painful, but I gave a vow. And Ramchandra respected, no, my father has acted according to his vow, so it's my duty to live in the forest.
It would seem safer to not take a vow.
Yeah. It's safer not to take a vow than to take it and break it. Why make a vow and then dishonor it? Therefore, it should not be undertaken whimsically that, well, I'll take this vow, and then if I don't like it, marriage vows. Therefore, marriage vows have become a joke, because the vow is just that I promise that I'll stick with this girl as long as I want to. Whatever he says, the vow is till death do us part. But the intention is, as long as it works. So it's hypocrisy. Better not to marry. But not that, well, we won't take any vows, we'll just shack up. That's another kind of irreligion. That's another kind of irreligion. But the vow should be taken so seriously that once we've vowed, therefore in the practically in every tradition, marriage is surrounded by rituals that seal the matter. You know, the father gives away the bride with great ceremony, and she's accepted with great ceremony, and there are so many rituals performed, and so many things are done, and so it's like you are sealed. It's not like we met on Tuesday and now we're together and by Friday we flit apart. It's like all the relatives are there, all the priests are there, all the arrangements are made. It's such a thing that to create an impression, samskar, vibaha samskar. Samskar means the impression. What is that impression? Now you're locked in. This is not for a weekend. This is your life. Because it's an important institution. Children require stable, the woman requires protection, man requires stability. For children, stability is so important, responsibility for the continuation of the family lines, for performing religious principles. So marriage is an important institution, so it has to be honored. It has to be honored by those who participate, by others also. Others know, this woman is married. Unmaried woman maybe is different, but this woman is married. I can't approach her. I have to honor that she's married. And the husband has to take it very seriously that this is my wife. I've accepted responsibility for her. So much weight is there on that institution. So the vow is taken, is made, you know, they say solemn vows. You know, not light, whimsical vows, solemn vows. It means it's very seriously considered, very weighty business that now we've taken a vow, so we have to follow this. Not that, well, that was different, and now it's different. Very seriously. And not rashly, that, you know, sort of have a good time one weekend and then we head off to the priest to get married. That's foolish.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. You spoke
quite a bit about vows.
You might as well speak up.
Sure, I do apologize. You spoke quite a bit about vows and say there is another important vow that hopefully I'm...
Should I answer you the same way that you're asking your question?
Okay, Maharaj, I'll try to speak louder.
Thank
just
you.
A bit personal, so question for me, I'm kind of struggling to ask. But this moment of initiation hopefully would come at some point, so I'm also expected to give vows. And looking back, I know that, you know, I've said so many things and I've cheated so many times, and I don't think that my word is weighty enough. So what can I do to kind of prepare myself so that the word would actually have this power and weight at the moment of initiation? Mm.
By practice, by seriousness, dhīra-stacchana-mūyate, one should realize the weight of the matter. That's not just a fashion. Everybody else is getting initiated, I should also get initiated. It's dhīra. One should become very serious and consider very seriously. The initiation means I have to follow. Is that okay? Mm. Mm. You just speak up. You've got a good enough voice.
Hare Krishna. So Guru Maharaj, it can be understood, it's been discussed that the holy name is not actually dependent on initiation.
Mm.
But somehow for us it seems that it is, because it's based our success.
Independent
chance.
Means holy name is independent of initiation means that if he likes, the holy name can descend in any which way. But we shouldn't depend on that. Just like the university, you can give a degree to anyone. You don't have to enroll. You don't have to pay tuition. You don't have to attend classes. You don't have to take exams and pass them. Doesn't matter. If the university wants to give you a degree, they just write up the paper and give it. The university is not constrained. We can only give degrees to such and such people. If they want, they give a degree, just like Rabindranath Tagore. He didn't attend university college, but he became a great Nobel Prize winning poet, and he got a degree. I think Oxford conferred an honorary degree. He's a degree holder. It doesn't matter whether it was honorary or earned. But doesn't mean that a prospective student should think, well, look at those fees. Why should I pay fees? Rabindranath Tagore didn't pay fees. University doesn't need my fees. It can just give me a degree.
Someone the holy name, or someone comes here, receives the holy name and some beads and a set of books and goes out and chants and reads. Could that person attain spiritual success?
Like anyone can attain spiritual success. If Krishna desires, you don't even have to give him any beads, any books. Krishna can make anyone perfect in a moment. But that doesn't mean the process should be neglected.
But it's unlikely that happen.
Yeah, that's not
very unlikely. So it seems it's extremely unlikely.
Because we have to follow the process.
So sadhana really means we're putting ourselves in the position to receive that mercy from Krishna, doesn't it? Then really, that
we undergo the trouble. I'll accept vows. I'll be initiated. I'll follow the directions of the spiritual master. I'll get up early in the morning. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll become a slave. Otherwise, no, I don't have to do any of those things. I'll just love Krishna. Not so cheap. Shruti Smriti Puranari Pancha Tribhanim Vinaya Kantiki Harir Bhakti Pataya Rakopate. Not that I invent my own process and that becomes as good as the process. And I pull out a couple of quotes to justify, no, you don't need initiation, or you can take initiation from in your mind or whatever you want. One has to follow the process. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just wanted to ask, so in the first canto, in the fourth chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that sudras and women don't need to undergo any samskar save and except that of marriage.
Hmm.
So I was wondering, why does he write that?
Yeah. Generally, the sudras and women are not expected to undergo, just like this brahminical initiation, that's not actually traditional. But in the modern context, Prabhupada gave brahminical initiation to women. Otherwise, according to tradition, her husband is initiated, that's all right. And she's the assistant. But Prabhupada adjusted. Shudra means he's a simple bloke, he's a worker. So for him to accept sannyas or other methods won't be effective, would be pointless. But marriage is important. Yes. To your other side, yes.
Maharaj, a question. What is the interrelationship between vows and karmic ties? So in the modern context, you mentioned a vow is for life, yet you know we see it prevalent in modern society where vows aren't adhered to and things happen. So what is the interrelationship between
relation karmic? Is you break your vow, then it's bad karma.
But sometimes it's forced upon the individuals, as we see.
How is that?
As we look at split-ups, so is it the karmic due of the partners that they decide?
It's not that, I gave up my husband, it was just my karma that I did everything. You know, I murdered my husband, well, it was my karma to do that. I murdered my wife, well, it wasn't my fault, it was just karma. It's not that one can just blame karma for all of one's activities. One has to accept responsibility.
Maharaj, I think the question is that if you have to split with your partner due to them being religious, do you still get a karmic reaction?
Is that the question?
Or like, through a circumstance that's not like out of your control?
Exactly. So if it's out of your control...
Well, everything's out of work. My wife, my husband is sick, my husband is old, my husband is an invalid. That's not in my control. But not that, well, due to circumstances beyond my control, you know, I decided to ditch my husband. How much is actually in our control? Life is not under our control. So many things are outside of our control. But this control I have, that I've accepted some vow, accepted some responsibility, so I have to stick to it. It wasn't in my control that, you know, my husband got hit by a car and now he's whatever. That wasn't in my control at all. Maybe I was like 20 and I got married to this great guy and then he got hit by a truck and now the rest of my life is ruined. But that's my duty. Not that, well, that's not what I bargained for. or that my wife became diseased, and now I'm, instead of enjoying, I'm taking care of this patient. And that's my duty. Was it under my control? No, of course not. But I have to accept it. And by accepting it as duty, one makes advancement, karmically speaking. That, all right, I accepted the trouble as a matter of duty, I made advancement. Otherwise, I abandon my duty. Krishna says, by abandoning your duty, you'll incur sinful reactions. He's arguing to Arjuna, you're going to give up your duty, leave the battlefield. You'll incur sins. You're thinking that by fighting, I'll get sinful reactions. Krishna says, no, by abandoning your duty to fight, you'll get sinful reactions. Well, that's within the field of karma. I have to perform my duty. Otherwise, transcendentally, I have to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then one becomes free from good and bad karma. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, you spoke about, you gave the example of Bhishma earlier on in this Q&A. Just wondering, what makes a person of good character like Bhishma act or not act appropriately, sort of according to religious principles?
Of course, in this instance, we can take it as Krishna's arrangement. These things are Hare Krishna, can be such an unusual thing, maybe taken as Krishna's arrangement so that the battle of Kurukshetra could be fought. But sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that a person is going according to, there are two lines, the spiritual line and the material line, our material duties and then our spiritual duties, but sometimes they cross, or our material nature crosses. A person is just like a Jamil. He was a good Brahmin, but somehow or other he came across a prostitute embracing a low-life guy, and his mind became agitated. So it was a cross. Normally he would have been a nice Brahmin, collected the flowers, come back, worshipped the deity. Instead he got waylaid and deviated. So sometimes material and spiritual life crosses, and then these things happen. But if one is serious, then it comes back quickly to the standard. But ideally, one should be careful to avoid circumstances. You know, not that if I'm a Brahmin, well, I go into a bar anyway, and you know, the difference between a bar and a temple. One should live in such a way as to avoid sinful association.
Mm-hmm. Right, I have a question that's a little off topic. Would you be okay to answer? Last night, in a group, we were discussing the third verse of the first chapter, first canto. Bhigamato Kalpa. I can't remember the. I can't remember. But the third verse of the first canto, that the, you know, the Bhagavatam has become sweeter because it's been touched by the Nigamato Kalpa. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses about rasa, and we had a few questions about the devotees were asking. And first one was, Prabhupada mentions about having rasa between humans and animals. And first, you know, we were kind of discussing how rasa can only occur between jivas, but then Prabhupada mentions that not between animals and humans. And as you mentioned, that sometimes interactions between man and like a dog, or a man and even a horse, or something, can occur. That there seems to be some sort of rasa reciprocation.
Yeah, I don't have any comment on it.
Yeah. Okay. The other question was: is rasa still there? Like, if one person has an affection or a feeling for a person, and the other person doesn't have any,
Yeah, maybe ghastly rasa. It's a taste, but the taste is affected. A man loves a woman, woman loves a man, then you have the fulfillment of conjugal rasa. Otherwise, if there's rejection, then you have other kinds of manifestations from that.
Okay. And are those 12 rasas that are listed there, is that the extensive list of rasas, or are there others? Those are just the main ones. Of course, we understand there are 5 primary and 7 subordinate.
That's the catalog given. I don't know what else you would. Again, it's categories. Category means to help us understand things. Life isn't actually made of categories, but we put things into categories to help us understand. To help us understand things. So systems of categories are useful because they help us understand. So if you stick to the system, then you get a framework for understanding things. But then if you add, well, couldn't we make another category, another category, another category, another category? And generally adds confusion. Anything else? No. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Samanishaya Vaita Maharaj Ki Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Gaur Pranande.
La 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 la. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much, Maharaj, for coming and giving us your association, very inspiring classes. Holiness Jagwaita Maharaj Ki Jai. So for the pleasure of the Lordships, we have some scores from yesterday in Radha's Boutique. Distributed 8 books for 236 Lakshmi points. And in Govinda's Restaurant, distributed prasadam to at least 221 customers for a total of 1,960 Lakshmi points. So we just offer our prayer to their lordships so that we can try to distribute some of Srila Prabhupada's books. Dear Sri Sri Radhananda Nishwar, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Sri Sri Gauranitai, and Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you. With a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation, we request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. Please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So we just need volunteers to serve breakfast prasadam this morning. And